Okay. So what we want to do today is talk about Parsha Zachar, maybe how we got to where we are, but mostly, I suppose, the question behind every time you read Parsha Zachar is, what's the point of remembering so that you'll forget? If you want me to not remember Amalek, so I won't remember Amalek. But if you tell me every single year, remember Amalek for the purpose of forgetting Amalek, for the purpose of wiping out their memory, isn't it self-defeating? Right? It's hard to remember something in order to forget it. So I don't know if I have an answer to that. We'll come back to it at the end. But at the beginning, let's just. Morty, everything okay? You're muted.
I'm good. Everything's good. I'm just putting tefillin on somebody in the hospital. I'm good.
Wow, what a tzaddik. Okay, let's start with the basic question that the Achronim ask, which is, what's the purpose of Parshas Zachar? And I think here the chakir is pretty obvious. There could be a benefit or a mitzvah in simply remembering, right? The point is we want to remind ourselves of whatever it is that Amalek did to us, to make sure that doesn't happen again, or just to remind ourselves that it happened. Or no, it's really preparation. If we hate Amalek enough, then we'll go to war and we'll destroy them. And the purpose of Parsha Zachar is not really remembering. The purpose of Parsha Zachar has a practical effect, which is if we hate Amalek, we'll go to war with them and we'll beat them. And that's the whole benefit of Parsha Zachar. It's preparatory for war, etc., etc. Okay, that's the basic chakira. Now, just to give away a little bit that we'll do, there are two nafkaminas, there are two differences between if it's just to remember or if it's to remember for purposes of fighting a war. The first is whether women are mechuyavos in Parsha Zachar, as we'll see. The mitzvah to remember, of course, it should be no hate for women. But if the mitzvah is for the purpose of fighting a war, and women aren't going to fight the war, then they'll be potter in Parsha Zachar. Okay, one of the funniest lines that I heard Rav Asher say was he said that, of course, women are poturos in Parsha Zachar, but it's a gzeira she'ein hatzibur yichol lamod. Women are going to come anyway. It's like a really big deal to hear Parsha Zachar. So what's the point? Okay, that's one possibility. Jackie, I can't hear you. Okay, the second is, can you be yotze with a parsha in the Torah that's not the end of kisetze? Right, that's what we read for Parsha Zachar. What if you read the story of Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Yisrael Birefidim? The end of, what if you read that story in Bishalach? Can you be yotze the mitzvah of Amalek? So there again, the difference is going to be that it doesn't say in Bishalach Timched Zecher Amalek. So if you think the mitzvah is just remembering, then sure, you could be yotze on Purim morning in shul. But if the mitzvah is to wipe them out, you can't be yotze in shul on Purim morning. You have to hear Parshas Kisetze. You have to hear Parsha Zachar as we do it in Shul this Shabbos. Okay, now let's pull up the sheet and see what we could do here. So the first source is obviously what we lay for Parshas Kitzeitze, right? So that's two parts. Zachor et asher asolocha Amalek baderech b'tzeis Mitzrayim. You have to remember what Amalek did to us. Asher karcha baderech, right? There are many, many pshatim in asher karcha. And he basically attacked the weak people, the people who were in the back of the camp. You are already exhausted. This is right before the story of we don't have enough water. And they were not afraid of God. So says the Torah. When God lets you live in the land peacefully, then Timched zech amalek mitachat hashamayim lo tishkach. You'll wipe out the memory of Amalek from under the sky. Don't forget. Lo tishkach. So again, the basic, the fundamental problem we're going to have is, what does it mean to wipe out their memory? And to, oh, don't forget to wipe out their memory. That seems, you know, almost contradictory. Now, as opposed to Parshas Kisetze in source number one, Parshas Beshalach in source number two, which we read Purim morning, doesn't really have the mitzvah, but it has the story, right? Vayavam Alek, Vaylachem Yisrael Berfidim, they attack us, Vayavam Moshe Yoshua, right? Get an army, Vayas Yoshua, Kasher Ma Moshe Lilachem Amalek, Moshe Aaron V'chur Alu Rosh Hagiva, Moshe Aaron Chur, God stand on the mountain, right? By the way, what din do we learn from Moshe Aaron Chur standing on the mountain? That's that you're supposed to have three people at Kriyas HaTorah. There's the Baal Korei, there's the Gabbai, and there's the person who got the Aliyah. Okay, Vayak Hashayiri Moshe Yadov Gabbai Yisrael. Moshe raises his hand, the Jewish people win, and when he puts his hands down, the Jewish people lose. Obviously, that's not to be understood literally, but the last pasuk is fascinating. Yud Gimel Vayachalosh Yehoshua et Amalek veet Amalek ficharev. Yehoshua weakened Amalek by the sword, meaning. Now, why didn't Yehoshua wipe out Amalek? No one ever criticizes, and certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't criticize Yehoshua for doing exactly what Shaul did. Right? Shaul, who we understand could have wiped out all of Amalek, didn't, and for that he was punished severely and he lost the Melucha. But what about Yehoshua? Vayachalosh Yehoshua, the pasuk is clear, and it doesn't have any editorial comment. Yehoshua weakened Amalek means, you know, he killed a bunch of them, but he didn't wipe them out.
There was no mitzvah at that time to wipe them out. This whole thing only comes later on. And Eli, and furthermore, in terms of your question, the fact that people have the minhag or practice, it's on a leap year, to announce before Kisetze, make, you know, because of the 12-month issue.
No one has that minhag. It's a cool thing to do, I agree.
But that also implies that the main thing is, you know, the stuff that's mentioned in Kisetze, not the stuff that's mentioned in
Kishalach. Agreed. Okay. So now,
Eli,
yes.
I wanted to add something that I just learned this week. It's a little tangential, but it's really amazing. Yael Ziegler sent me on the word Asher Karcha, that ein karcha elishin is the main lecha magid shasalo amalek michilot tunnels bederech vayaba alehen vahargan. It's from Midrash Tanaim Kafhei Yudchet.
Look the parallels between is Amalek
unbelievable. That
and
blew
Hamas,
me away.
You know, right? We'll get to it because I don't think you need a midrash for it. Everybody sees it with their own eyes. But so be it. Okay, let's first learn. Let's look at the Rambam. So the Rambam, it says in source number three, Hamitzvah Kuf Peites Hi Shetzivonu Lizkor Masha Asalanu Amalek Mehakdimo Leharalanu. This is something you see in many, many Rishonim. Mehakdimo Leharalanu means they were the first, right? The whole world was afraid of us. We had just, you know, had Esther Makos. We had just had Kriyas Yamsuf. It was clear that God was supporting the Jewish people, and they were first to do evil to us. Shenemar b'chol eis ve'eis, and we have to say it from time to time, u'ne'orer ha'nefashot b'ma'amarim lehilachem bo. So here it sounds like the Rambam also thinks it's preparatory to war, right? We should get inspired, ne'orer ha'nefashot, by listening, by talking about how evil Amalek is, lehilachem bo, then we'll fight them. Unizarez ha'am lisno oto ad shelo tishkach ha'mitzvah v'lo techelash sin ato. And then, you know, if we talk about it enough, people won't stop hating them, and people won't make peace with them. V'techsar min ha'nefashot im orech hazman. The Rambam says, you know, human nature is such, and we're seeing it now with the Holocaust, human nature is such that over time you forget. Right? If you don't remind yourself over and over again, so then it just it fades into the background. It just becomes another bad thing that was done to us. And we can't let that happen. So says the Rambam, that's why we have the mitzvah. It's interesting. He says me'esleis from time to time. He doesn't deal with every day, every week, once a year. But it sounds like you have to do it from time to time. Third line at the end. Right? That's the pasuk everybody agrees. Right, the drasha is that you have to say it out loud. It's not enough to think that Amalek is evil. You have to express it. Kilomar, emor ma'amarim b'ficha, shiyichayvu b'nei adam shelo tasur sin atom mehalavavo. Speak it out. Say it out loud to everybody to make sure that nobody, you know, forgives Amalek. Halo tireh Shmuel hanavi kishitchil lasot hamitzvah azot. When Shmuel started doing the mitzvah, echasa shehu zachar tchila ma'asehu. First, he reminded everybody of the evils that Amalek did, v'hara, v'acharei kein, tziva lahargam. And then he said, therefore, we have to kill him. V'amara yitaleh, pakadati eit asher asal lecha Amalek liYisrael. The whole point is we're not killing Amalek for no reason. We're killing Amalek because when we left Egypt, they attacked us for no reason. So they were both the first people to attack us. Everybody else was terrified. And second of all, they had absolutely no reason to attack us. Amalek doesn't really have a land, right? They're mostly a nomadic tribe. So it's not like there was a fear we were going to take their land. They attacked us because they hate us. And by extension, they attacked HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so it's a little hard to tell in the Rambam, does he think the mitzvah is to get to the war? Or does he think the mitzvah is simply to hate them? I think we have no choice but to say in the Rambam that the mitzvah is to hate them. Because in the Sharashim of the mitzvahs, the Rambam says you don't count a mitzvah that's preparatory to another mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam says you would not count, you know, hating Amalek if the purpose of the mitzvah was exterminating Amalek. So therefore, I think the proper reading of the Rambam is the mitzvah is to remember, and there are benefits of remembering, but the mitzvah itself is to remember with or without the ability to wipe out Amalek. Okay, who disagrees with the Rambam? The Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch in source number 4 says, V'noheges mitzvah zo b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'zicharim only males ki lahem la'asot ha'milchama v'nikmat ha'oyev lo l'nashim. Says the Achinuch, who's going to go to war? Right? If the purpose of the mitzvah is preparatory for a war, who's going to go to war? The men, not the women. Therefore, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek and the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar and Shabbos Zachar falls only on men, not on women. Now, on that Sefer Achinuch, the Minchas Chinuch raises the following really, really good question, I think, and it touches on a debate that's going on in Israel now. Says the Minchas Chinuch, right, that which the Chinuch wrote, that milchama is a mitzvah for men and not women. Be'emet milchemet mitzvah hakol yotzim. Afilu kala mechupata. Kimavur bishas. Right? The halacha is that for a milchemes mitzvah, as we're fighting now, everybody goes, even women. Kala mechupasa. Right, a kala from a chupa. And that's also what the Rambam brings. Gam mi amad b'sod Hashem yisbarach im hatam machmat ha'nikama. He said, second of all, you know, how does the Chinuch know why God gave the mitzvah? Why is the Chinuch so sure that God gave the mitzvah so that we'd wipe out Amalek? Maybe the mitzvah really is only to remember. De'efshar, third line in the middle, Gzeres hakasuv shen nizkar sinato me'ezetam. Maybe the mitzvah really is to remember the evil that Amalek did to us for whatever reason. We don't know why. Va'anachnu ein yodim. We don't know. Ve'efsher af b'bias Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, he says it's also possible sheyichrat amalek mikol v'kol. There won't be amalek left. V'lo yiyaz zecher lahem. Right? Which is how we pass in bisman hazeh. We paskin that Sancheirav came and Bilbel at Kol Ha'olam. He moved all the nations. And Kol de Parish, Miruba Parish. Anybody who you meet, you have to assume comes from the majority, which is not Amalek. So therefore, Bizman Hazeh, if you meet a guy and he's wearing an Amalek sweatshirt, you don't kill him. Because you assume that he's not from Amalek. Okay, so says the Minchas Chinuch, it could be that La'asid Lavo Bizmana, when Mashiach comes, we still won't have the mitzvah. V'lo yezechelah mikol makom hazichira yihye tamid mitzvat asay lizkor v'lo lishkoach ad kan. Al kein tzarchiyun depot anashim mimitzvah asay zo. It's a really good point that the Minchas Chinuch makes against the Sefer HaChinuch. Which is one, women do go to war if it's a milchemes mitzvah. So that you could answer, you know, women go to war, but they don't really get in tanks and they don't really, you know, hold rifles. They do things to support the war effort. And, you know, there's a lot of recognition now in Israel for wives who haven't had a husband at home for many, many months and have a bunch of kids and are, you know, taking care of the home front, let's say, that's an enormous, you know, benefit to fighting a war. The second thing, says the Minchas Chinuch, is who said that the reason for the mitzvah is to fight them, to win a war? Maybe the reason for the mitzvah is to just recognize the bottom line. What's the bottom line? So on some front, the bottom line is there is evil in the world. Full stop. Right? Amalek is a reference to the fact that there's some evil in the world that you can't fix. And we, you know, benighted 21st century people, we're uncomfortable with that, right? I can fix any evil. I can forgive anything. I can, says the Torah, no. The first thing you have to recognize when you listen to Parsha Zohar, you know, the Rav said this many, many years ago, right? He said, Amalek has stopped being a genetic group and Amalek now represents evil. And so the Rav in his time said, that in the late 30s and early 40s, you know, the headquarters for Amalek was Berlin. And in the late 40s and early 50s, the headquarters for Amalek was Moscow. And nowadays, it's no stretch to say the headquarters for Amalek is Gaza, right? Hateful people who represent pure evil, not the kind of evil that we can negotiate with, not the kind of evil that we can reason with, the kind of evil that has to be exterminated. Because if it's not exterminated, we're going to keep fighting it over and over again. Okay, last point in that section. Here's the Mishnah Berurah in source number 6. He says, Aval hamagen Avraham mitzadeid detov yoter sheyavol lemakom shekorin ha-megila b'tzibur u'pasha zachar yotze al pi adchak b'mashe yishma ha-kriya b'purim b'pashas vayavo amalek. The question was, you have a choice. You could hear Parsha Zachar, but that place doesn't have a Megillah. Or you could go to Shul on Purim and hear the Megillah, but you'll miss Parsha Zachar. So the Magen Avram says, well, that's not really true. Because if you go to Shul on Purim, you'll hear Bishalach. And Bishas Hadchak, says the Magen Avram, you can be Yotzei by hearing Bishalach, the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek. To Bezen Nami, end of the second line, Zocher Maase Amalek, V'yotzei Yidei Chovoto. Okay, so says the Magen Avraham, you don't need to hear, you know, Timched Zech Amalek, you could still be Yotzei. V'rotzei Loma, the Yotzei Midoraisa. V'hine, third line, L'may Dekai Malon, B'simon Samach, the Mitzvah Strichos Kavana, we paskin certainly with respect to Doraisas, the mitzvah strikos kavana. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Yiyet sarich be'et shemiyat parsha zo lechavein latzeit b'zeh mitzvah sashei shel zachar." Okay, you're gonna have to have special kavana if you want to be yotzei the mitzvah on Purim morning. You have to have kavana to be yotzei. Okay, that's no big deal. You have to have kavana to be yotzei on Shabbos. Okay, it's true that on Shabbos somebody's gonna make an announcement in shul saying, you know, you want to have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa of Parsha Zachar, but you could do that on Purim morning also. Says the Mishnah Bura, aval la'anias daiti. I think he's wrong. Right, it's the tzivui that you need. Timched zeich amalek, and that's not in b'shalchu. Lekach nitztavinu limchot et shemo kimo shekatuv haramban bebiuro v'zeh lo nizkar b'parshas vayavo amalek. It's true. The parsha of vayavo amalek at the end of b'shalch reminds us of the evil of amalek because it tells the story. So for the Magen Avraham, that's enough. But for the Mishnah Berurah, that's not enough. Because the main part is the mitzvah of timched zeich amalek, and that doesn't exist in Parshas Bishalach. It only exists in Parshas Kiseitse. So therefore, that's the machlokas we discussed. If you think the purpose of the mitzvah is to wipe them out, then you can't be yotzei with the reading of on Purim morning from Bishalach. But if you think the mitzvah is just to remember, then you can be yotzei. Anybody else know what's unusual about the reading of on Purim morning from Parshas Bishalach? It's unrelated to anything.
The number of psukim.
Exactly.
Only nine.
The minimum, right, the minimum psukim for take out of Torah is 10. But Purim morning, we only read 9. The answer is obvious. You know, to read a 10th pasuk would be to read a pasuk that has nothing to do with the Kriyas HaTorah. So it means there's a rule, but the rule is not ironclad, right? If it happened that you had to read 9 psukim, and 9 psukim was the entirety of the theme of the day, then you would read Nai Psukim. Okay, let's continue. Says the Rambam in source number 7, I think it's pretty consistent with what we
said. And Eli, yes, on that same point, and that's why you cannot even do like we do on Rosh Chodesh, repeat a Pasuk, because you will then run into the issue of having less than, you know, person walking thing that the previous Aliyah or the subsequent one only has 2 Psukim to it. In other words, you cannot...
Now, I hear you, but I'm thinking, but why can't you make an Aliyah 4 psukim? Read a psukim twice. Why
you
can't
can,
you read
but the, I'm saying psukim? Because the person who walks in and he by Shani, by the second Aliyah, will not have realized that when that first, you repeat that first psukim that you're laning is a repetition of what you previously read. He will think that the first Aliyah only had 2 psukim.
I never really understood that because I thought if you had 3 psukim in the first Aliyah, then you repeated the third pasuk and you read 4 psukim in the second aliyah. Is your issue still an issue?
Yes, because the guy who came in late, for him it's an issue. He will. It's not for the ole or for everyone
you think
else.
He'll think, okay, yeah. Okay, it's a fair point. Okay, let's quickly look at the Rambam. Well, let's introduce the next issue, which is, okay, there's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to remember Amalek, and I think the mitzvah is not to remember Amalek as much as it's to recognize and remember that there's evil in the world, even in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Now, having said that, how often do we have to do this? Right? What's the geder of the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolech? And this ties into a basic fundamental question that we have many, many times, which is when the Torah tells us to do something, but it doesn't limit it by time. Right? The Torah tells us to eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan. The Torah tells us to sit in a sukkah on the 7 days of sukkah. So the Torah tells us all these different things. When are we supposed to put on tefillin? The Torah doesn't tell us. So is it every day? Is it all the time? Is it once a week? So the Rambam says in source number 7, V'chein, mitzvat aseh le'abed zecher Amalek. Right? The mitzvah is to wipe out the memory of Amalek. She'ne'emar, Timched zecher Amalek. Umitzvat aseh lizkor tamid ma'asav ha'ra'im va'arevato. Why? Kidei la'orer evato. So we should hate them. Shenemar Zachorit Asher Salucha Amalek. Mi Pi Ashmuel Lamdu Zachor Bepe Lo Tishkach Bolev Shasu Lishkach Eivato V'Sinato. So if you ask me, how often do you have to remember Amalek? So the Rambam says, Tamid, mitzvat aseh lizkor tamid ma'asav hara'im va'arevato. It sounds like it's a mitzvah every day. It's a mitzvah to me this. Maybe it's many times a day. It's hard to know. It really is hard to know. But the Chinuch really deals with this openly. Says the Chinuch in source number 8. Va'al ha-zechira hazot b'lev u'bepeh lo yadanu bazman kavua. It says the Chinuch, I've got to be honest with you. There's no source for how often you have to do the mitzvah of zechira samalek. Lo yadanu bazman kavua bishana obiyom. Is it once a year? Is it once a day? Kimoshe nitztavinu bizechiras yitzias mitzrayim b'chol yom u'b'chol layla. Right? There is a daily mitzvah, day and night, right? Yacho balayla, tamul yomar, tamul lomar what? Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mitzrayim. Okay, so there's a limud for the afternoon zechira yitzias mitzrayim by saying kriyashma every day and every night. Vahatam ki bizechira hahi ikar hadat. So says the chinuch, if you know why it's so frequent, because that's a foundational principle of Judaism. God took us out of Mitzrayim. That's as good and important as it gets in Judaism. Ukimo shehirchavnu hadibur al zeh baharbe mekamot b'sifari, in this sefer. Aval ta'am zichirat ma she'asa Amalek, eino rak shelo tishkach sinato milibeinu. But remembering Amalek is not a foundational principle, right? And as much as we're in a war, and as much as we hate Amalek, and as much as we hate Hamas, and we're obsessed with this, it's not a foundational principle of Judaism to hate, and even to hate terrorists. V'day lanu b'zeh lizkar ha'inyan pam achat b'shana, o shtei shanim v'shalosh. Says the Chinuch, you know, it's good enough to remember something that's not a principle of Judaism, to lane it once in a year, once in 2 years, once in 3 years. Right, I think the Chinuch lived at a time where there were still different minhagim in terms of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, was there a Parsha Zachar, you know, during the Chinuch's time? Of course there must have been, because it developed before then. But he doesn't limit it to a year. Now, Vihine, almost halfway down. Bechol Mekomot Yisrael, Korim Sefer HaTorah Bishana Achat O Bishtaim O Shalosh Lechol HaPachot. Right, every Jew, every cycle of reading, is going to cover Parsha Zachar in a year, in 2 years, or in 3 years. V'hine heim yotzim bekach mitzvah zo. And that's good enough. To do it once every few years is good enough. V'ulai nomar ki min hagam shel Yisrael b'parshat Zachar likrota b'shabbat miyuchad b'chol shana Torahi. Umipnei mitzvah zo hi shekavu kein. Right? They were koveya parsha zachar, you know, to make an example that it's a mitzvah. Vua shabbat shelifnei purim la'olam. And obviously we're going to do it. We're going to attach the mitzvah that's really unrelated to Purim, because we believe that Haman came from Amalek. Therefore, we'll do it to Shabbos before Purim. V'din yihye likrota biyom Purim. Lefi shehu miinyano shel yom, ki haman harasha haya mizaro. Aval lahodia shekodem neis zeh, nitztavinu bizichira zo, kavua parsha kodem lepurim. Aval samchuha lepurim al derech ma sheyamru zichorom livrachabim mukamot, samchu inyan lo. Right, he says, there's no magic to reading Parsha Zachar the Shabbos before Purim. If you read Parsha Zachar the week before that or the week after, you'd be Yotzei. But he said, Chazal do what Chazal do. And they wanted to make a big deal out of Parsha Zachar. And reading Parsha Zachar attached to Purim and the story of Haman and his being a descendant of Amalek, that will make it more memorable for us. Right? You know, there's a feeling when you go to Shul on Shabbos that you're already celebrating Purim. It's a confusing year because of Tanis Esther and things like that. But the exact point is, on the one hand, says the Chinuch, hating Amalek is not a foundational principle of Judaism. On the other hand, you know, Chazal wanted you to remember, it is a mitzvah satorah. And so Chazal said, let's do it the Shabbos before Purim. Now, this starts to get into the issue that we're not going to deal with, but we should think about is, do you need a minyan for Parshas Zachar? Do you really need a Sefer Torah, right? Can you do it at home from a Chumash? Can you do it from a Siddur? These are questions that, you know, clearly the mitzvah d'oraisa isn't at a minyan. The mitzvah d'oraisa is to read it from the Torah or to read it yourself or to know it. It's a little hard to know that. Next paragraph in the Chinuch. Va'over al zeh v'lo zachar b'libo. Then, if you never read it in your life, so it's interesting. He says, yes, you have to do it every 1 year, every 2 years, every 3 years at the most. But to be mevatel the mitzvah, you have to never have done it. Now, where does the 1 year, we obviously do it yearly. So where does the 1 year come from? Right? Who decided that a year is a cycle of memory that we go through? So the answer is that's something we learn from Avelut. Look at source number 9. Says Igman Brachos Nun Chesam Bet Amarav Ein Hameis Mishtakech Min Halev Elo La'achas Shnei Masar Chodesh. You don't really start to forget the person who died until after a year. Shenemar nishkachti kemeis milev hayisi kikli oved. Okay, so that gets back. So Jackie mentioned before, and it's an interesting point. If you start to forget after a year, and that's why we read Parsha Zachar once a year, what do you do this year when the year that we're finishing now is a leap year? This is Adar Bet. And so it's been 13 months since we've heard Parsha Zachar. Is that a problem? So Jackie mentioned, and it's a cool chumrah, that when you're laying in kisetze, if you're in like a shul of people who are serious about these things, so somebody should announce, in a leap year at least, that the Baal Kor is having in mind to be motzi people in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, and the tzibur themselves are also having in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, and it will be exactly as if you read Parsha Zachar. I mean, you are reading Parsha Zachar. You're just not aware of the fact that it's Parsha Zachar. So if you do it that way, you'll have read it more often than once every 12 months. But I, like the Chassam Sofer and others, think that has nothing to do with it. A year has nothing to do with 12 months. A year has to do with a cycle of human behavior. This is my first Seder without my father. This is my first Sukkos without my father. This is my first Purim without my father. It's a cycle. So usually it's 12 months. But if the cycle this year is 13 months, so be it. So I don't think you have to worry that you didn't read Parsha Zachar, you know, during the course of 12 months. I think it's obvious that 12 months is just an arbitrary time period that represents doing everything you would do in a regular year. And if a regular year is 13 months this year, so be it. Okay, good.
Especially since we don't do anything after a year, when you're an Avel, there's no ceremony for at the end of a year. So okay. I'm surprised that we would. That's where they get the rule that once a year it has to be done.
No, we mourn for it. We mourn for a year. So the sense is, you know, there must be something meaningful to that. Yes, mm-hmm. We only stay Kaddish for 11 months, you know.
Right. Okay.
A yard site is a yard site. I don't, you know, I think it's a good proof, but we can all differ on that.
Ellie, according to the Chinuch, he will hold that we don't have to say all those Sheish Zechiras after davening either, the way he's
learning. It's a good question. Right. If that's the case, then you don't have to, you know, the question is how often do you have to say them? So I think he would say, with respect to things that are foundational to Judaism, which is probably Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, you probably have to say those every day. With respect to Miriam, with respect to, you know, to Maimon Har Sinai, maybe you have to say Maimon Har Sinai also. I don't know. I don't know if that's a foundational principle. But yeah, that's a fair point. The Ramban thinks, you know, I didn't find it anyplace else in the Ramban, but the Ramban thinks you have to say these things daily. That's certainly the impression you get. Okay, source number 10. Says the Mechaber in Simon Tuf Reish Pehe Siv Zayin, Yesh Omrim Sheparsha Zachar Uparshas Parah Aduma Chayavim Likrotam Mida Oraita. So it's interesting. Forget Parshas Parah, that no one knows what that's doing there. No one really understands why Parshas Parah would be Doraisa. We assume that it's not. But Parshas Zachar is. But is it really? So the sense you get from, why is the Mechaber saying Yesh Omrim? Isn't it obvious that it's a Doraisa? So the answer is the Mechaber is talking about doing something in shul. Mechaber is not talking about remembering and speaking out the evil of Amalek. Of course that's Doraisa. The Mechaber is saying the idea that you have to get together in shul and lane that, that's a bit of a chiddush, but yeshamim that that's Doraisa. Lefikach, he says in the second line, b'nei ha-yishuvim she'ein lahem minyan, Srichim lavo l'makom sheyesh minyan b'shabbatot halalu, kidei lishma parshiot elu shehei midoraita. So he says, if you live in a small place and there's no minyan, you got to go away for Shabbos. You got to go someplace where there's a minyan, because reading Parsha Zachar from a Sefer Torah with a minyan is a mitzvah midoraisa. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. Now says the Rama on the third line, Hagah. V'im e'ef shalohem lavo, mikol makom yizaharu likrotam b'neginatam uv'ta'amam. Says the Rama, but let's say you can't go to shul for whatever reason. So he says, don't give up. Take out a chumash, take out a sitter, take out a sefer Torah if you have one at home, and lane to yourself. Yizaharu, lane it with the trap. And the sense you get in the Ramah is that you'd be Yotze also. You'd be Yotze the same mitzvah d'oraisa that you're Yotze if you go to shul. Okay, I don't know if in Congregation B'nai Asher and they reinstituted the age-old minhag of having special kriya for women.
There's a kriya after davening and a special one later on in the afternoon.
All right, so I'm sure Rabbi Przanski is offended by that, but that seems like a good idea to me.
He's your problem.
All right. Look at source number 11. Let's try to get to the point. Why do we hate Amalek? Why is this so important? So says the Chinuch, Shenitztavinu lizkar masha asa Amalek liYisrael. Shehitchil lihitgarot bam b'tzeitam imitzrayim, b'terem nasa goyu mamlacha yado alehem. Right? While the whole world was nomogu mipnehem, were terrified by the Jews, they took one for the anti-Semites. Meaning, they didn't win the war. They lost the war. But I suppose, you know, they proved to the world that we're not unbeatable. Right, exactly like October 7th. They knew they weren't going to win the war. They were going to conquer Israel. They don't have an interest in conquering. They don't. But they proved that you could hurt us. Ukinyan shek katuv reishit goyim amalek. They were the first. V'targumo reish krovayr di Israel havi amalek. They fought with us first. Shehakol hayu yireim mehem bishamam hayad hagidola asher asolahem Hashem b'mitzrayim. Everybody was terrified of the Jews. V'ha'amalekim b'ro'a livavam u'bimizgam hara, because of their evil in their hearts and their bad natures, lo shatu libam l'chozeva yitgarubam. They didn't care, and they attacked us. V'ha'eviru mitoch kach yiratam ha'gidola milev shar ha'umot. And they made us less intimidating to the other nations than we had been. Right? At some point, no one would have touched us. People were terrified of us. But they showed the world that there's no reason to be terrified of us. You could kill 1,200 Jews. And not only can you do it, you can be supported by everybody else. Ukinyan shim mishalo bezem mashal rotin zikham libracha, famous medrash, liyora rotachat she'en kol beria yachala laredet litocha. Right? There's a boiling thing of water, and no one could go in it. Uba echad v'kafatz v'yarad litocha, but somebody did go in. Afal pi shenichva, even though he was burned, even though he's now hiding in tunnels, right? He hasn't seen the sun in 172 days. Hey, karo tala achirim. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, he cooled it down scientifically, right? He took some of the heat away. Val zichirat in yanim ze ne'mar zachorit asher sulcha malek b'derech b'teis b'mitzrayim. That's what we have to remember. What is it exactly? Says the Chinuch, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, Latet El Libenu, Shekol HaMeitzar Li Yisrael, Sanui Lifnei Hashem Baruch Hu. Anybody who causes problems for the Jews is hated by God. V'chi Lefi Ra'ato V'armat Rov Nizko Tihiyema Palato V'ra'ato. And based on his evil, that's going to be his punishment. Kimo Shata Motzei Ba'amalek. Ki mipnei she'asa ra'a gidola li'Yisrael, shehitchil hu lahazikam. Since he was first to damage us, tzivanu baruch hu la'abed zichra min ha'aretz u'lisharesh acharav ad kale. Because he was first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to wipe out his memory. Right? But there's something more going on here. And this is something you feel deeply nowadays. And that is, it wasn't just an attack on the Jewish people. It was an attack on the Jewish God. It was an attack on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an identity between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when something like that happens, it's not just a Hester Panim. It's a Chilul Hashem. People respect the God of the Jews less after October 7th than they did before. I think that's obvious. It's painfully obvious. And that's what makes it a Milchemes Mitzvah. Because people are fighting, to quote the Rambam, Al Yichud Hashem. Chilonim are fighting for that. Frum people are fighting for that. Okay, Charedim are not participating, lo aleinu. But the war is a war over Yichud Hashem. Even if people don't know what that means, that's what it is. That's what Hamas attacked, and that's what we're defending. We're defending the fact that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. And the better we do in the world, the better HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world. And the worse we do in the world, the worse HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world. Rav Amital Zatzal used to say many, many times that the Holocaust was a Chilul Hashem. And I remember the first time I heard it, I thought to myself, what did we do wrong? He's blaming us for the Holocaust? No, he didn't mean that. He meant literally a Chilul Hashem, meaning who respected the God of the Jews in 1942 when we're being massacred? Nobody. That's a Chilul Hashem. He said 1948 was a Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because from people didn't know. Because God returned to the historical stage. Because people started to think about and started to respect the God of the Jews again after the God of the Jews gave us a nation and gave us a state and gave us a homeland. And that's what the war is about. Now, there are two last Rambans which are related but unrelated. The first is to recognize the Mishnah Berurah used the language before. It's interesting language. Look at source number 12. Says the Ramban, V'hanachon be'inai, Shehu lomar shelo tishkach masha asal lanu amalek, ad she nimche ad shemo mitachat hashamayim. And then he has this line, Unisaper ze levoneinu uledoroteinu lomar lohem kach asal lanu harasha. What does this remind us of? It reminds me of a Seder. It's like, you know, you sit around with your family and you tell them the story, you know, and you share with them that this is what happened. This is what these evil people did to us. And you teach your children, God willing, that there is evil in the world. It exists. Maybe we don't look for it. Maybe we don't want to find it, but evil exists in the world. And unless you understand that, and unless you recognize that evil will exist in this world until we wipe it out. And I sometimes wonder, I really do, and I want to be careful how I say this. You know, why didn't Yeshua wipe out all of Amalek? So technically, Jackie says, well, there was no mitzvah back then, which is true. But maybe on some level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted some remnant of Amalek to remain to teach us this lesson. To teach us this lesson that, you know, evil exists in the world and that we either face up to it or we suffer with it. And it's seen even more clearly in the last Ramban, which is just an afterthought in the Ramban. This is a Ramban at the very, very beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, right, where the Torah says, V'yibishalach parat ha'am, v'lo nacham alokim derech eretz plishtim ki karov hu, right, ki amar alokim pen yinachem ha'am birotam milchama v'shavu mitzrayma, right? God, if he took us the short way, we'd have to fight a war with the plishtim, and then we would give up and return to Egypt. So the Ramban wants it, but what's the point? We had to fight a war with Amalek anyway. Why did God take us the other way? And he says as follows, 13, Umilchemet Amalek berifidim lo hayta re'uya lashuv ba'avura. There's no retreating. It didn't make any sense to return to Mitzrayim because of the war with Amalek. Kihem lo ya'avru aleihem. They're not going to let us run away. Right? Amalek's not trying to win a war. It's not trying to get land. It's not trying to conquer Rephidim in the desert. It's trying to kill us. V'hu sheba me'artso v'nilcham bahem l'sin ato otam. Amalek hated us. V'im yitnu rosh l'ashuv l'mitzrayim lo yo'il. Ki lachem bahem baderech. Right? It's not like, oh, if we retreat, they're going to let us go. They're going to go after us. They want to wipe us out. Also, they were far away, so they didn't know how to get back to Mitzrayim. But here, I think, is the main point. Amalek is not a regular country. They're not trying to defend their territory. They're exactly like Hamas nowadays. They're not trying to get territory. They're not trying to get us out of Gaza. We've left Gaza. Okay, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't, but we've left. That's not the point. You can't retreat. You can't run away from these people because they're motivated by hatred. And if they're motivated by hatred, I'm sorry to say, we have to be motivated by hatred. There's no other way to do it. As much as we would like it to be otherwise, as much as we'd like to reach some deal and peace and all these things, it's not an option when the people you're fighting don't have any demands. Or said a different way, the people you're fighting demand that you all die. And by the way, you know, as was proven, it's not settlers. It's not even Jews. It's hard to know who it is. I think it is Jews, right? So long as there's a Jew in the world, there will be an excuse for Hamas to attack that person. And that's why we're stuck in the position that we're in. And nobody thinks it's great. But the position that we're in is, you know, we need a complete victory. Otherwise, we'll be back at the starting point again. And in the end, I think that's what's going on. You have to remember that evil exists in the world so that you can fight it, whether it's directly a war or it's some other form of it. But the fact that, you know, we keep making excuses for the misbehavior and for the evil of other people without calling it out by its name, you know, that's no longer a possibility. And if you had asked me.
It's on us. It says so in the Torah that if you leave them there, there will forever be thorns in your eyes. So that's what we are.
You're right. It you know, it has to be us. And that's why I think Parsha Zachar is more meaningful this year. And I think if you asked somebody 70 years ago, you know, do we have to keep reminding people about the Holocaust? He would say, no, of course, people will remember. And here we are, and nobody remembers. You know, 80 years ago, whatever it is. And nobody remembers. And like somebody asked me recently, you know, do I think it's a correct parallel between October 7th and the Holocaust? I'm sorry to say, for me, of course it is. Except it's worse this time. Because in the Holocaust, as I recall, I mean, from stories and things, people pretended not to know. But now you have people cheering for the Nazis. You know, it's like Hitler's alive and everybody's justifying him and everybody's supporting him. And somehow we became the bad guys. And hopefully Parshas Zachor will remind us that what we're doing because it's the right thing. We're doing because it's the only thing we can do. And we're doing with the support of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat shalom to all of you. Have a great, great week. Have a great Purim. And I'll see you next week, I suppose.
Have a good one. Thank you.